Hi, I'm Michelle Spencer. I'm going to be your moderator today. This is the first in the LMS Deep Dive podcast series. We're going to be alternating each month between podcasts and peer shares. That way, we'll give people some ideas and also a forum to share ideas with each other about how to get more value out of your LMS. The first peer share is going to be on November 2nd. And it's also on the same topic, managing your content. Our next topic is going to be course scheduling, and we'll be doing a podcast in December and a peer share in January. So be looking for those or the recordings of those on the ILTA website. This series came out of an LMS shootout session that we did at ILTACON this year. And so I am joined by some of the participants in that panel. So I'd like for each of them to say hello and then also remind us which learning management system you are using at your firm. So Claire, you want to kick us off?
Hi, I'm Claire Morris. I'm the IT training manager at McDermott Will & Emery. And we have the LMS called Saba Cloud. In our firm, we have approximately 1,100 attorneys. And we have a large firm and a large audience.
Hi, my name is Lyda Pinkham, and I am the technology training manager at Ice Miller. And we use Tutor Pro as our LMS. We have just over 600 users, about 300 of those are attorneys, and we're spread out over 7 offices.
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Green, and I'm the Assistant Director of Human Resources at Fenimore Craig. Our LMS is university site, and we have about 400 users spanning 6 locations. And Sean?
I'm Sean McGinty. I'm the Senior Learning and Development Engineer at Carlton Fields. About 700 users spread out across 11 offices, and we used eLogic Essentials LMS.
And again, I'm Michelle Spencer, the founder of Legal Learning Development Network. So we're going to start off by talking about what kind of content gets hosted in the learning management system, because there are so many varieties, you know, technology, soft skills, CLE or legal content, and maybe even other types of content. So I wanted to have everyone kind of let us know what they host in their LMS, and then also whether they purchase that content or they develop it in-house. So Claire, what do you guys do at your firm?
We host a lot of material on our LMS. We're increasingly installing more and more and uploading more and more material on there. The main part and what we started off with was e-learning material based on Microsoft Office applications and the like. And then we've moved on to also growing our library of recorded webinars and videos. Our professional development use it for storing CLE-related material on a sub-site, which you can have as part of the Saba LMS. We store compliance-related material, such as certifications, HIPAA. We have a video on acceptance use policy and the like, so we store that as well. We also have our regular IT tips of the week, and we have quick reference guides also there. We have a new hire material specifically addressing new hires for a checklist and something called Firm Essentials. And we've also recently started to have surveys and evaluations stored on the LMS too, together with some quiz material, which we've just started to do recently. We purchase our e-learning material in the main, but we started to get ourselves up to speed a lot more with recording our own material as well. But in the main, it's purchased.
Great. Lyda, how about you?
We're pretty similar to Claire in that we started with e-learning, and that's a bulk of what we have. And most of that e-learning is focused on technology and security training. And then we also use it for instructor-led training, and a good majority of the firm uses it for that. So our business development group, our library group, our diversity group, our legal personnel is just starting to use it for some of the attorney classes. And then we also, if we have any recorded webinars, we'll include those. And right now those are just focused on technology. So mostly it's technology content as far as being able to do it on your own time. But we also have the instructor-led material. And like Claire, we also now house our surveys in there for evaluating the classes. We're doing assessment there for our competencies, our core competencies. And as far as our content, most of it has been purchased. We do create some of our own content, and we've had some custom developed as well.
Great. And Elizabeth, I know you guys are just getting ready to kick off your LMS. So what have you guys done for your initial set of content?
Yes, so we plan to launch in January of 2017. So we have a lot of technology-related content that we've purchased from a third-party vendor, and that's e-courses, videos, quick reference guides, and workbooks. Right now, I'm looking at soft skills content that we'll also be purchasing from a third-party vendor. We do customize some of our own content as it relates to our onboarding track, HIPAA, anti-harassment, things that utilize our own terminology and policies. We also house on our LMS some simulation-based assessments and knowledge checks.
Great. And last but not least, what about you, Sean?
We launched our new LMS in March of this year. And with that, we launched with 2,000 e-learning modules, probably 75 of which were purchased off the shelf. The rest were developed in-house. All of our recorded CLEs that we do in-house, all of our compliance training, all of our soft skill training, that's all recorded and as recorded webinars or their mixed mode videos. We started getting into animation recently for some of our video content. In addition, we house all of our written content in FileSite, but we can link through to the LMS so that people can get at if it's associated with a class or an e-learning module that they're taking. And like Claire, all of our surveys, checklists are there as well. So technology e-learning, soft skills e-learning, compliance e-learning, it's all there.
Great. So, you know, one of the big banners that I've been carrying for a while is breaking down the silos. And so I'm glad to see participation from some other departments in the firms, because I've heard of firms that actually have multiple LMS systems going. And I think that gets really confusing for learners. Of course, when you get that much content, 2,000 plus modules, as Sean said, then it's really important to have your content organized and decide what strategy that you're going to have for folks who are going to be accessing that. So, Elizabeth, you want to lead us off with what kind of things you guys have been thinking through for releasing this to your learners around organizing your content?
Sure. We didn't want it to just be a data dump with content everywhere. So we are organizing our content in the form of learning plans. And those are based on competency models that we've determined for each job role within our firm. And so we have some flexibility within the learning plans where it's organized by recommended learning plans and required learning plans. So there's some firm-wide expectations that kind of span across job roles, like security, which is a big one, that everybody, no matter what your role is, that's a required learning plan, our onboarding, and then some of our base software programs. So we've structured it in that manner so people have a better sense of what we're kind of wanting them to learn about and then what we need them to learn about. We also have an open platform outside of that. So it's very robust search capabilities where somebody can look across departments, across practice groups, and maybe they want to learn something in another area that will help them grow their knowledge. So we allow them to look across and take whatever they want as well. So we have open access to all content across all groups, and that's organized alphabetically. So the search tool is very easy to find. We have three different ways to find information, different tabs. You can search through just videos, you can search through just e-courses, you can search through Slack content, and then you can use just the Google search tool where we've tagged everything with as many tags as we can think of where somebody could easily find content. And then our naming convention is always the program first and then the level second. So we hope that this strategy will make it easier for the user to find what they're looking for.
Right. I think a couple of important things you mentioned are being able to tag, clearly identifying, you know, what the program is, tying it back to a competency or a skill in a learning plan. So what about you, Lida? What kind of strategies are you using to organize your content? Anything different from what Elizabeth stated?
I think we mostly do the same things that Elizabeth did. We do have a catalog that allows us to organize our content into categories and subcategories. And so now that we have different areas of the firm getting on board, that's been really, really beneficial. So for example, there's a category just for the business development group, and there's a category for security and the library services, so they can organize their content the way they want to. But then it also has a very robust search tool that allows you to search by keyword and then has filters for audience and type of learning. And then we can also organize content into learning paths and push those learning paths out to the appropriate roles. So very similar to what Elizabeth's doing. You know, for example, security goes out to everybody in the firm, whereas new hire just automatically gets pushed out to new people. And then we have some paths that are just for secretaries and so forth. So very similar. I think the only thing I heard that was different is being able to organize by category and subcategory.
Exactly. Categories and subcategories, really handy for that. And then also the ability to filter, and then the use of audiences as well. If you're considering an LMS, that's something to really look at, is how do audiences work. What about you, Claire? Anything else that you're doing or thoughts that come to your mind?
Well, like the others that have just spoken before me, I totally agree. We use a catalog feature, which is really key to the way our content is organized by categories and then subcategory. In addition to what my colleagues have also mentioned, is that we also can filter by office. So items that are specific to certain offices can also be identified by the people in those offices, which is quite important, especially since we have offices in Shanghai, and Asia and in Europe. So there are often specific programs that they're running, or just specific versions of what we all do specific to those offices. It's important to be able to filter down on office as well. But apart from that, our search and filter is very similar to what my colleagues have just described in their offices.
So yes, definitely having the ability, if you're a global firm, to be able to divvy up, and even from state to state, because if you've got any kind of compliance or HR content in there, or CLE, those requirements are going to be different. What about you, Sean? Anything to add? Or
It's interesting you brought up state by state, because one of the things that we just sat down and filtered out is that our sexual harassment training has to be different for the state of California than the rest of the states that we operate in. So we can segment our content by office and by department through eLogic. What we've done is we have a standard catalog where everything is broken down either by product or by function. It's got a Google-like search to it, and you can meta tag or keyword tag every piece of content that comes through, but it does index everything. So if you just run a keyword search on our content, it'll look through the content name and the description, or an agenda that's attached to it, to find anything that matches. When it comes to just the organizational model that we use, when it comes to targeting particular folks within the firm, we're rolling out something called the Temple model, where we start off with a core curriculum that will basically be our new hire or onboarding path. And then we build in a cross-functional curriculum that applies to both transactional and litigation folks. And then we start bucketing things by department or practice group.
I know that's, you know, has always frequently been a complaint in firms where I work, that people want things specific to their practice group. So organizing not only by the application, because sometimes we get caught up in thinking of the software that's being used, but also the function and what you can do with it, and being able to index that way is great. So Sean, how do you make it easy to find or access your learning content? Has anybody hooked into their enterprise search tool, or maybe tying it into their portal or intranet search?
So some of our individual departments that use our LMS to manage either signups for their live training or access to their recorded or on-demand training linked that through to their individual pages on our SharePoint site. So like our legal talent management group has all of the CLE programming, which is hosted in the LMS, on their page in SharePoint, so that if you're on there looking for a program through maybe another provider and then saw that we had something in-house, you can launch it directly from the SharePoint site. We do have a Google-like indexer that eLogic recently purchased and integrated into the LMS. So all of our content out of the box, once we upload it, is widespread searchable. They have an advanced search engine, kind of like Google, that once you expand it out, you've got more than just a keyword box. You can search by each one of the metadata fields associated with the content. And, you know, we weekly have a newsletter where we push content that's new or has been updated or was frequently called about to the help desk on.
Great. And so, Elizabeth, I know that you were going to do something with your rollout to get folks to your content. You want to tell us about that?
So as far as easily accessing our learning content, we are rolling out a new form of our intranet. So we purchase web parts through university site to make that easily integrated into their homepage of their intranet. So they'll be able to see kind of their recommended training and deep dive right into it from their two tools together to make it easy for people to find the content that's best related to their needs.
And Claire, what about you guys? Have you got yours hooked anywhere or come up with unique ways?
Well, we have the way to access our LMS is actually with a link on the main homepage of our intranet, which is well publicized and marketed on a regular basis. So that's the way everyone goes in and accesses it directly from that intranet site anyway. We also have an enterprise search on our intranet sites, which is based on SharePoint. So any searching for material can also come up during that search that we run. Although it's not directly searched, it can't search all of the content directly in the LMS. That's something I'm going to be looking towards in the future, looking at and seeing how we can, that search could pick up potentially everything in the LMS. At the moment, it can only search and pick up content that is linked, because we do have content linked, stored on the actual SharePoint site, and then it's linked into the LMS. So of course, any search will bring up that, but it won't actually directly pick up a search of content that's only stored within the LMS. So that's something that we could do or look at to make it even more readily available. And like I think it was Sean that said, we have communities and SharePoint sites and specific pages whereby our LMS is linked into those as well, so that they can actually quickly access it from there. And we regularly market any new material or any new programs that we have via that, with links that they can directly access it.
So the ability to link from inside the LMS to items that are outside and vice versa are equally important. Lida, are you guys doing anything different there?
We, I think, are basically doing the same thing as everybody else. I think the key is just the marketing and kind of bringing that information forward for people. And so we try to do that in a lot of different ways. And I don't know if that fits more into the next question. So our LMS, and I probably most of them do, has the ability to link to just about any content. And when it comes to instructor-led or events, we can link to several different levels. We can link to the course level so they could see all of the events. We can link to just that particular event so that they can just register for a specific time. And we found that the easier you can make it for people, the more likely they are going to access your content. And then we do try to manifest that material any place we can. So if we're doing a class and we have content that ties with that instructor-led class, we like to communicate that to them, you know, give them links to all that content as either, you know, pre-work or, you know, after the class as a reminder. And then same thing, I think Sean mentioned a newsletter where we kind of remind people of the e-learning. And that's also kind of where they can and learn about what's new in the LMS. I think it's very similar and just trying to make it as easy as possible for them. And then we just have a general link on our intranet that they can access as well. We do not currently have the ability to search our intranet and the LMS at the same time. That's on my wish list though.
Great. Yeah, and the ability to link to different points is really good if you're going to be doing follow-up or drip reminders over time to be able to link to a specific resource or something for folks, I think is going to become even more important. So getting a robust search engine going and a strategy around that. So how do you guys keep your content fresh? Do you do anything to highlight topics throughout the year specifically? And why do you want to lead us off on that one?
Sure. I think I kind of let the cat out of the bag.
Well,
So I think there's so much content in there. I think there's always something fresh in there for different people at different times. And so for us, it's mostly just marketing that and bringing it to light. So we write tech tips, and anytime tech tips touch on any content we have in the learning management system, we'll link to that content. And when we do our monthly newsletter, we feature different content from the LMS. When we do classes, if there's anything ties in, we'll feature that. And then, of course, there's the regular, when you're doing upgrades or things change or you add a new product, you know, letting people know about those. And we typically let people know either in the communication about the upgrade or the new feature or in our monthly newsletter.
So I was just going to say also that we have, it was during Oscars season that kicked it off. We decided, this gave us the idea, we do a movie of the month feature. So we put in whatever, we have a discussion on the team, decide what movie we're going to feature, and we send that out as the movie of the month. And of course, just like Lida said, then we have a link to say for this and more tips and viewing more e-learning and movies, click here. We try to be constantly, not necessarily always new content, but certainly because there's so much content on there, just coming up with a new link and a new version and a new advertisement for each sort of topic or material that we have that we'd like to market. It's awareness. It's just keeping the awareness constantly on the go, I think.
I really like the idea of having a, you know, up the month kind of theme. And, you know, that is just another way to push content that may have already been there and people just may not have happened upon previously. What about you, Sean?
Generating content for us is somewhat of a large process. First off, we always take requests. It's at every email we send out when we're doing instructor-led training. It's at the bottom of our newsletter. So we do get a lot of things where people want to know about software or media platforms or things that really aren't related to work, but, you know, whether it's Facebook or Twitter or, you know, Instagram or something, or if it's a mind mapping tool, we'll cover that content if it's requested. We record a ton of meetings and presentations, and that stuff gets reused in a variety of formats. So that helps us keep a lot of the content fresh. We also review help desk tickets. If we don't have a product release coming out, we don't have an update, you know, we haven't built anything new in a while, we'll go through the help desk tickets for inspiration on either content to reuse that we've already built or content that needs to be built. Lastly, we work with every department in our admin office. You know, what can we help them with? What do they need to communicate to the firm at large? And if there's something that we can do to help them with that, whether it's a short animation, whether it's a live video, whether it's a podcast, we'll sit down with them and build that content.
So yeah, that's great. Having those deep relationships within the firm to surface content, because I think so many times we, you know, get in our own little box and we forget about those pieces. And also taking that content marketer approach, if somebody wanted some good ideas, go look at content marketing. They talk all the time about spinning your content off in different ways. And so that's a great source of ideas. So how do you, or how will you, make users aware of new content? Are you using things like featured or new tagging or something else? I know we've already talked a little bit about this, but Elizabeth, you want to lead us off on this one?
Sure. Right now, everything will be new. So we have lots of contests around accessing content for our launch parties that we're throwing, but continually add new content and develop new content. We plan to have a news feed featured on the homepage of the LMS that will highlight any new content that's available. And then we also plan to highlight on the internet, depending on if it's department or practice group specific, but each department and practice group has their own page, or we can stream it across the news feed for all pages. So depending on what the content is, so it's easily visible in that way. We also have a monthly newsletter that goes out what's happening at Fenimore Craig, and it highlights really interesting things happening across our firm, and it touches all people, all departments. So we plan to highlight any new content of interest in there as well. And we've talked about quarterly contests kind of wrapping around access to new modules, the first person to complete a new track, the first person to complete a new course. So we've kind of implemented some fun things. We might do short 30-second videos. I can change out video content on the homepage of the LMS. So right now I've got an introductory video featuring our managing partner, but I plan to change that out frequently so people keep wanting to click on it and see what's new in that way.
I think that's a great idea, because if people get into the Google mindset of, I'm just going to go Google this answer, if you can do something fresh that is interesting and engaging them on the LMS, then that makes it that much more likely that they're going to go there instead. Claire, what are you guys doing in this regard?
Yes, well, one of the things we do is feature. We have do use the featured facility and function that you can do in the LMS, which is so you can put this as a new featured or new content, new program, whatever it might be, on the homepage of the LMS, either for everybody or just for specific groups, people, office, whichever you'd like to do. So, for example, if there's a new, we very much focus on our attorney training program, which is currently in not being run just at the moment while we revise and do prepare for new things and new events next year. So this would be something we would do and feature on the homepage. And our attorney training program would be considered featured learning, obviously, or featured events for the attorneys next year when we rerun that program. So those are the kind of things that we would feature. So we very much use that as a way to bring that to the new sure. content or whatever to
yeah.
users.
You bring up a really important point, and that is taking time to pause and go over your content and pull out stuff that's maybe no longer relevant, because it can get really unwieldy if it just goes on and on and on. Lida, what about you guys? How are you making people aware when you have new content?
Yeah, I think the biggest way that we've been doing it is through, we have a monthly newsletter, and we have a sort of a featured corner where anything that's new, you know, whether it's content on our LMS or other content that we have, new classes or anything, kind of gets highlighted in that newsletter. So it's kind of a one-stop shop. And really, that's probably the biggest way that we make people aware of content. Really, just the marketing piece is just keeping the appropriate content in front of people and reminding them it's there. Whether it's new or not, is probably the bigger piece of what we do.
Exactly. And Sean, do you have anything to add on that?
I do. You know, we have a newsletter that is voluntary. So about 65-70% of the firm has signed up for it. It's our learning news flash or whatever we've called it. In addition, we have a firm-wide newsletter that goes out every Friday and our new content's repeated there. One of the things the LMS allows us to do is it does have a featured tab on the homepage that allows us to either select content to feature, or it will display the last 5 pieces of updated content automatically. And we have content pages within every landing page in the site that we can program with videos or images or documents that we can use to target specific groups or the firm at large on what content or things have changed that pertain to them.
So I think that's really a cool feature that you've got with your LMS, which is you don't have to specifically tag it as new. You can choose to do so, but yep. the system itself will automatically tag, you know, the last 5 items. That way, that's less maintenance that you're having to do.
Correct.
That's great. So our last and final area of discussion is whether you have a content repository outside of the LMS. So I know a lot of firms store content in their DMS and then link to the LMS, or, you know, there's some content that maybe lives within SharePoint in the intranet. I've seen firms that have entire tip libraries, and some of the early LMS did not support that previously, and so that can be an issue. What do we do with that? Do you have anything to add on that, Elizabeth?
No, a point for us, we do have all of our content stored in our DMS as well. The majority of it lives on our LMS, but we don't have it anywhere outside of that, unless we're linking to a third-party vendor. Other than that, we've got our DMSs back up.
Great, thanks. And a big consideration, a lot of LMSs are moving to the cloud and being hosted by the vendor, and having conversations with your network team about whether they are going to allow linking back into the DMS and how that's going to work is an important thing. So Claire, what are you guys doing in that regard?
Yes, good point there, Michelle. That's something that we'll be looking at, you know, as the new versions of FileSight and iManage come along. We have currently, we only store all our traditional documentation, such as, you know, the quick reference guides, written up IT tips, etc. like that. Those are all stored in the DMS, but they're not linked into our LMS. So we store them there, and that's our working repository, but they're not linked into the LMS from there. We have our e-learning completely go straight and uploaded to the LMS, so it's not stored anywhere else. It goes straight into the LMS. And the tips themselves and various other sort of documentation such as that is actually housed as well on the intranet site. And that's where we do have our link take place from the SharePoint intranet site straight into the LMS. So various pieces of information like that, such as tips, etc., maybe newsletters and items like that, which are also stored on the intranet, do get linked into the LMS. But the actual hard copy type of traditional quick reference guide is just stored in the document management system.
Great. Sean, what about you?
We have a very similar approach. We store all of our written content in FileSite. It's published on our intranet page and SharePoint. And then if it's part of a learning path or a checklist, we link through it to the LMS so that we're not telling somebody to leave the LMS to go get content. We've got the ability to do that through the library feature in our LMS. It will allow us to, instead of uploading a document, provide a URL to the document. So we can either use the SharePoint URL or the FileSite NRL path to get the documents into the LMS without actually having to publish them there, which works for us, because if we ever change versions, the link stays the same.
Right. Lots of things to consider, especially if you haven't implemented one yet. How exactly are we going to do this? And what about you, Ida?
I think we're fairly similar. All of our quick reference guides are all stored in the DM, and then we link to them. We have a training page, and then we also have a featured section on the homepage of our intranet where we link back to the document management system. And on our featured section on the homepage, it's kind of like what Sean had in his LMS. I wish we had that. We do feature the top 5 new items, and it happens automatically. So new or updated. So if we update a QRC, a quick reference guide, or we add a new one, those automatically hit that top 5. And then there's a link for them to go and look at all of the documents. And we kind of have those organized by category. We haven't put those in our learning management system. It would be another step, and we just haven't decided that it's worth that effort at this time. But I think someday we might want to do that, especially when we're ready to move to a new version of something, we have to redo all of our content anyway. That might be the opportunity to do that. And then we also put our newsletters, you know, an archive of our newsletters there. And then we have a blog page too, where we do tips. We try to do this about once a week. And none of that content is in the LMS. We actually really don't link from the LMS to our DM, and we don't link back to our intranet. We really mostly just link from our intranet into the LMS. Someday it would be great. I would love to have like a global search that kind of hit both or put the content all in one place, but that would be a pretty big effort. So I'm thinking the opportunity would be for when we do an upgrade, major upgrade.
You bring up some really good points. And, you know, the one thing I mentioned previously that a lot of groups I've seen struggle with is a tip repository. Because you can do some pretty cool things on web pages where you can, you know, drill in by the different topical areas, and you can spin things different ways that maybe you can't do inside your LMS. And so you need another way to kind of let people at that. What's nice is a lot of the LMSs are giving you the ability now on home pages to put some linking at the top. And so you can then link from the LMS over to a tip library or vice versa. So it's getting a lot better. I think another big thing that is going to be coming up is how to handle video, because video files are so much bigger than other files. And so, you know, we've had our, you know, e-learning modules, which were somewhat bigger, but when you start talking about hour-long CLE sessions and things like that, it gets a little more crazy. Have any of you had to come up with a specific strategy around video yet?
We have. For a time, we were doing about 52 CLE courses a year in-house and recording all of them. Right. Had to find a place to house them. So what our solution was is we used our Adobe Connect platform to be our not only our virtual training environment, but our storehouse for all large media files that are required to be streamed. For one, it takes us out of our network, off of our LAN, and Kinect has a much better way of managing bandwidth than like Microsoft Media Server or any of the things that you can plug into SharePoint. So I can have 100 people accessing the same video across our 11 offices, and we don't see any hit to our traffic between, you know, key systems.
So a couple of considerations there is having good internet connectivity, and then also being okay with a vendor housing your content. So that would definitely be a consideration for firms.
Yeah.
Claire, how about you guys? Sean, did you have something to add?
With most of your LMSs going to the cloud, people are housing your content now.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. And so, Claire, what about you? Have you done anything specifically around video?
No, not really. Not at this moment. Obviously, the size of the files and storage has been always a consideration. We've had to store things in box that we use for very large files, etc. like that. But we haven't really gone down the road of too much video at the moment. I hear what Sean says about professional development and CLE stuff. It's only minimal at the moment. I think this will definitely be a growing
future consideration.
Exactly, yes. But it hasn't hit us too much just at the moment, but I agree, it's certainly coming. One of the other considerations that we have to face at the moment is how we make it easy to access everything, including the videos, including all of the content from outside, so via from mobile or from single sign-on. That's more of our concern at the moment than anything else, is easy access to all that content when you're not actually in the office.
Got it. And Lida, anything to add to kind of finish us off here?
We kind of do what Sean does. We use WebEx, but the same concept. We let them house all of the recordings, and then we just link to them from our LMS so that people can, you know, have a record of that in their learning history if they want to. As far as I know, when we do need to load video, we just do that in the LMS, but we haven't done enough of it to see that there were any problems. And what we've done has been very, you know, shorter kinds of videos, except for those recordings that we just let be hosted in WebEx.
So that brings up another consideration if you are going to be hosting it from your LMS, is having those conversations with the vendor about, do they have limitations on how much content you can put up there? Are there bandwidth issues? So those are a couple of things that would be really important to test. And Sean, I think you had a really good resource for that. So let's leave people with that.
Well, you know, if it's your first time setting up an LMS and you've never done it before, or you've done it before and you felt like it was a giant failure, there is a fantastic book out there. I got it from a ATD ICE convention a couple of years ago. It's the Corporate University Handbook. It goes through the history of how LMSs came to be, and then pretty much every single type of implementation that's ever been successful. And it's CLOs from some of the largest companies on the planet talking about success and failure and how they got to where they are now, and that they're all in a good functional spot.
Great. So I think that's a great place for us to leave off. So thanks for joining us for this first podcast. And I hope you'll join me for the peer share that's coming up that will correlate with this, and then join us for the rest of the session. Thanks, everybody.